morning in the series of messages we started a few weeks ago concerning the prophetic passages of Christ coming to find in the Old Testament. And today we're going to be talking about the aspect of Christ as the everlasting Father, and tonight we're going to be talking about Him being the Prince of Peace. So please make sure that you're here tonight so you can get all the stuff from the series, but I think it's a good time and a good way to worship the Lord by coming together with God's people and praising Him and singing. I mean, how often do you get to sing Christmas carols? Just one time a year. So come on out and do that. I'm sure that you'll get a blessing out of it. But the third in Isaiah's list of four names that he gave to the coming Messiah is going to strike kind of a deep chord in some of our hearts, because it is the name Everlasting Father. When I think about this, you know, I think of that whole message of being the Everlasting Father is a pretty powerful one, because a lot of us had different experiences with our own earthly fathers, okay? And some of us have wonderful memories of our childhood and of our dads. But for others, the relationship with their father was less than ideal. It might have even been a painful one. Maybe your dad wasn't very good to you, and you live with those kinds of memories and the hurt and the wounds and the damage that caused in you. But still, for others, it wasn't the fact that your dad was good or bad, but that he just wasn't there, okay, the absentee. And maybe he was there physically but not emotionally for you, or maybe he wasn't even there physically, and he wasn't really much of a part of your life. And we speak of the theme of fatherhood, it's going to strike that kind of a chord in us, because we consider God as Father. Okay? The way we perceive God is greatly affected by the relationship we have with our dads. Truthfully speaking, it really works that way. But the name that Isaiah gives to Jesus is Everlasting Father. Okay? I mean, Everlasting Father, we're talking about a God who will never leave you, a God who will never forsake you, okay, and He'll be there forever. So, all of you that had bad relationships with your dad, Jesus is the perfect one. He is the perfect and everlasting Father, and that is good news. But the question we have to start off with today is the question, who can legitimately refer to God as their father? Okay? You've heard it said that we're all God's children. How many of you ever heard that? We're all God's children. Okay, how many of you ever said that? We're all God's children. Okay, if you did say that, you probably haven't been in my Sunday school class, and you better not have been in my Sunday school class and heard me say something about that and still say it. Truthfully speaking, God is the creator, okay? And He is the sustainer of all things, correct? Okay, now a little louder. There you go. Cool. But just because He is the creator and the sustainer of all things doesn't make Him everybody's father. And that doesn't make all of us God's children. And so we ask the question, isn't God the Father of us all? Aren't we all God's children? Well, like I said, He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all of this. But the fact is that the Bible doesn't talk about God as Father by virtue of being creator. There's nowhere in the Scripture that the Bible says because God created us that He is our Father. Okay, am I making myself real clear? Am I shaking anybody up right now? Because actually the Bible is even more clear. If you go to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, you don't need to do that. You can look at this on your own time. That He gives those the right to be children of God as we receive Jesus. For those who received Him, He gave them the right to be children of God. So the people who are only really the legitimate children of God are those who what? Those who are disciples of Christ. Okay, notice I did not say it's all those who have recited the sinner's prayer. I didn't say that. You know why? Because anybody can say that. But it takes a disciple to be a disciple. And you're thinking, man, that's good preaching, man. I didn't know that it would take a disciple to be a disciple. Wow. How incredible. God's fatherhood depends on a relationship with Him. I'm making myself clear? I mean, I bought Christmas presents this year. Okay? Like for this little fellow up here, this little guy. I did not buy Christmas presents for all the children in the neighborhood. You know why? Because they're not all my children. Okay? Not only that, but we're broke. Yeah, that figures too. But this is the deal, folks. Because of the fall, okay, way back in the Garden of Eden, because of what Adam and Eve did, and because of our sin, none of us can come into the world with a good relationship with God. Did you know that when you're born in a state of, well, the Catholics call it, original sin? And there's truth to that. You are born with a natural tendency to move away from God, not to move toward God. We call it total depravity. You're born in a state where you are anti-God. Now, I know that seems impossible. You know, that sweet little baby back there, Benjamin? Yeah. Benjamin's so cool. I saw for the first time last night that he actually cries. And he does it the coolest way. He sticks out his bottom lip first. And his face gets all worried looking, then he cries. But would you be shocked if I told you that Benjamin has the bent? He has a bent to moving away from God, just like every other human being who's ever been born except for one. Who's the one? Jesus. That's correct. The Bible says that apart from Christ, that we are alienated from God, not children of God. In fact, the Bible insists that we are children of wrath. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It'll tell you that whole thing. Okay? That we were born as children of wrath, but because of Jesus, we become children of God. If that was all that Christmas was about, that would be enough to praise God forever for. But it's because of His Son, Jesus, that we are made adoptable by God the Father, and we become part of God's family. Am I making myself clear? Do I need to like beat on this drum any longer? Who are the children of God? Those who are disciples of Christ. How many of you know what the word Christian means? What's that? To be Christ-like? Close. 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 We only have one guess. Sorry. Who knows what the word Christian means? Close. Close. It means little Christs. If you're in my Sunday school class, you know this. That's what the word Christian means. It means little Christs. Okay, so if you are a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus's, you are involved in the daily process of becoming more like Him. Am I making myself clear? If you are in the process of becoming more like Jesus because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you are a little Christ. You are a Christian. And God is doing a revolutionizing work inside of you that can be done no other way. Not a single Carnegie course can help you with this. You know how to win friends and influence people? Anthony Robbins can't help you with this. None of these TV pundits, including Deepak Chopra, can help you. Only the Holy Spirit's working in you can recreate the life of Jesus in you. That's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you a child of God. Now, if you are a child of God, I want you to take one hand and raise it up like this. Take the other hand, raise it up like this, and do this. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are no longer a child of wrath, you are a child of God. God is the creator and the sustainer and the judge of all humanity. But He only becomes our Father when we stand in a Christ-given relationship with Him. So if somebody comes to you and says, well, aren't we all God's children? Your answer is what? Only if you have Jesus. Amen? I would love to believe that we all do. The second point I want to make this morning is that Jesus is the way. None of us has a right by virtue of faith or practice to call God Father. Only one person has that right, and that's Jesus. You mean to tell me out of a billion people on planet Earth that calls themselves a Christian, there's only one who has the right to call God Father, and that's Jesus? Are you trying to tell me that? That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. And because of that, only those who are in Christ can call God Father. It's only through Jesus that we can call God our Father. So when we pray that prayer and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, you know, Harold be your name." That's what I thought of when I was a kid. I thought God's name was Harold. Now, "Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Yeah. I can't help it. My neighbor's name was Rick. It was Harold. So I kind of figured that was, you know, anyway. You cannot have the fatherhood of God without the sonship of Jesus Christ. I want you to really catch on to that. We cannot have the fatherhood of God without the sonship of Jesus. So if somebody comes to you and says, "Well, isn't Islam and Christianity basically the same thing?" No, it isn't. Because in Islam, you do not have the sonship of Jesus Christ. He's considered a teacher and a prophet and, you know, and all that stuff in the Quran, but he's not the Son of God. He's not the eternal, pre-existent, forever living Son of God that the Bible teaches that he is. Sometimes people ask whether Christians and Muslims all worship the same God, and the question is no. No. And if you've read the Quran, then you know this to be true, and I've read it. I would love to be able to say yes to that. But that would be a lie. How so? Because Islam denies that Jesus is the only Son of God. They want to believe also that Muhammad is one of God's prophets and all that kind of stuff. And if you deny the sonship of Jesus, you lose the fatherhood of God. So you have to have the sonship of Christ. You can't have one without the other. But the Apostle Paul refers to it like this: God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? God and Father of our Lord Jesus. It's a way of declaring that we only know God as Father through Jesus. Okay? If you were to go over to Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to ask you to do that, go ahead. Turn in your Bible. Actually, don't turn in your Bible. Turn your Bible to Matthew. Every time I tell somebody to turn in their Bible, I get the vision of somebody putting the Bible on the floor, laying down and rolling over on it. So turn your Bible to Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33. Everybody got it? "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Whenever I read that passage, the words of the Apostle Paul ring in my head. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many of you would say, without a bit of doubt, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ"? Are you not ashamed? Well, here's the question for you then. Does everybody around you know who you belong to? Everybody? I mean everybody. Everybody you work with. All your family members. Would any of them look at you and go, "Oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that"? I mean, I don't want to sound condemning here, but we need to let our light shine so brightly that it hurts people's eyes. And if Jesus is shining from you, it will hurt their eyes, because that world out there is walking in darkness. But we, who once walked in darkness, have seen a great light. And that's also part of Isaiah that we've been reading. You walked in darkness before you knew Jesus. I'm not pointing any fingers because I did too. And I'll tell you something. I'll be real transparent here. When God reached his arm down to save me, he had to reach way, way down. I mean, really. But like the psalmist says, he lifted me from the miry clay and he set my feet on the solid rock of my goings, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is no way to the Father except through him. There was one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, folks. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Oh yeah, it was neat seeing Santa Claus last night. He gave me a couple candy canes and all that stuff. That was cool. But the way we celebrate Christmas should not be for Santa Claus. It's Jesus. Third thing I want to share with you is that we only relate to God as Father through adoption. Okay? Because of what Jesus has done for us in his life, in his death and resurrection, and in his sufferings and sacrifices he made for us, he enables us to become children of God. Now, once we're adopted into God's family, we can call God our Father. And guess what? We can do so for eternity. Because once you can call God your Father, you can call him your Father forever. Because once he saves you, and once he lifts you out of that miry clay and he sets your foot on the rock of your goings, he'll never drop you. He's got better hands than Allstate. Be good hands, people. He is the eternal God, and the beauty of it is that once God accepts you into his family, he will never, ever kick you out. And Jesus is the one who opens the way for us to become adopted into that family. How many of you are familiar with AWESOME? Not the word, but the Animal Welfare Society of Monroe County. All right? AWESOME. I think that's a pretty good organization, probably the truth. But they have a term that they like to use when one of those beautiful rescue animals gets adopted by a family. A family comes in and they pay the fees and they take the dog or they take the cat. And they adopt it into their family. When AWESOME does that, you'll see it on Facebook that so-and-so found their forever home. You know what it means when they say their forever home? That means that they have found a family and they're going to stay there. I think that, folks, that fits perfectly with us. Because the God Welfare Society of planet Earth accepts you into his family, and you are now part of a forever family. And the family of God, the bond of adoption, well, not the same as the bond of blood and biology, is nevertheless just as permanent. And when God accepts you in his family, you will never leave it. And there have been some people that have argued with me and said, well, what about people that have, you know, accepted Christ and then they've walked away from him and cursed him forever from there on? My reply to them is they never accepted it in the first place, because they never made the trip from here to here. And it has to. God has a forever family of which he is the everlasting Father, and when you become part of God's family, you never leave. Quite frankly, I can tell you that since I became part of God's family, I would never want to leave, because it's the best way to live ever. There's hope when there's trouble. There's resource when you need. There's healing when you are sick. There are brothers and sisters that can come and put their arm around you when they're discouraged. And when there are people who are discouraged, you can go put your arm around them and show them the love of Christ. The love of Jesus sets you free to love and to experience love. And the only way you're ever going to experience real love is once you are adopted into the family of God. And when God does the adopting, his adoption is always final. The bond is absolutely secure. There's no breaking it. And because of that, he is your everlasting Father. I can't think of better news to give you, because the God that you know and you and I know never changes. He never decides to stop being your Heavenly Father. The Scripture says, in Him is no shadow of turning. What that means is there's not even a suggestion that He's going to turn, because He always is, and He's always consistent. When I was a child, little shaver, one of the things I heard from people all the time was, you know, you look just like Albert. That's my dad. You look just like him. You look so much like your father. You are the spitting image of your dad. I remember one time I was bowling at Corning Bowl up in Corning, New York, of course, and this guy comes walking up behind me. He goes, "You must be Al Van Horn's boy." And I said, "What makes you think that?" He says, "Because you look just like him, and you get bowl just like him." But I've never seen him bowl. Doesn't matter. You are the spitting image. One day, my grandmother Van Horn, that would be his mom, came up to me and showed me a black and white picture of this little lad in knee pants. Any of you remember knee pants? Okay, you're old. But she showed me this picture, and she said, "Hey, look at this picture. Who do you think that little boy is?" And I looked at it, and I said, "That can't be me." "Well, why can't it?" I said, "Because this little boy's wearing knee pants. I don't own any. But he looks just like me. And seriously, identical. My guess is that when I get to be 80, I'll look just like he looks now. Except I won't have the full beard." And then she explained to me that that little shaver in the picture was actually my dad when he was 9 years old, just like I was 9 years old at the time. Poor kid. How much do you look like your father? Wait a minute. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about him. How much do you look like him? Is there a striking family resemblance? I pray there is, and that your walk with Him will draw you ever more closely into a more rewarding and intimate relationship with Him. And I pray that between even today and tomorrow, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that the Lord is going to touch you in a special way, and you're going to receive blessings from Him that you've never received before. That's my prayer for every one of you this Christmas. That God touches you and blesses you in a beautiful way. And that you'll find yourself coming out of the Christmas season saying, "You know, I feel closer to God now than I've ever felt in my life." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that it's in Jesus Christ that we find sonship, daughtership. We find adoption into your family. Father, we thank you for a Savior like Jesus, and thank you for the way that He came into the world. It was perfect, Lord. You had it all planned out and you made it perfect. But Lord, there may be those here today that would say they don't know for sure that they are children of God. Perhaps they have thought in days past that everybody's a child of God. But Father, that's not true. We become children of God as we place our faith and our trust in Jesus alone. Lord, if there is even one here that has never placed their faith and their trust in Christ, they've never accepted Jesus, I ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to them right now in a very powerful but gentle and loving way, saying, you need to give your life to Jesus. Now, if anybody looking around, please, everybody keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart this morning, and you don't know for sure that you are a child of God, now is the time. to become one. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to say, I want to be part of the family of God today, and I want to make it sure today, just slip up your hand so I can pray for you. And if anybody would say, I want to become a child of God today, anybody at all? Father, I pray for every one of your children in this place today. I pray, Father, that you would help us, each one, to walk more closely with you, to love you more and obey you closer every single day. Lord, we pray that you would just help each one of us as your children to take that sonship, that daughtership, that adoptionhood that we have, and bring it to other people and help them to see the love and the hope that they can find in Christ. Lord, I pray for everyone in this place today that they would receive special blessings today and tomorrow as they gather with their friends and their family to celebrate. Father, and that blessing would be knowing that they are a step closer to you because of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for all you do in Jesus' name.